Please turn in the back of the Psalter hymnal to page 62, the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 51, question and answer 126, page 62. We continue our series through principal truths of the Christian faith, especially now this series is part of the Catechism that deals with how to pray, a very practical topic that our Lord Himself taught us about. We're at the fifth request. The question asks, what does the fifth request mean? And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors, means. Because of Christ's blood, do not hold against us, poor sinners that we are, any of the sins we do or the evil that constantly clings to us. Forgive us, just as we are fully determined, as evidence of your grace in us, to forgive our neighbors. Let us take our Bibles and turn first in the New Testament, Gospel account of Matthew, chapter 6, beginning at verse 12. Matthew 6, verse 12, page 1031. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew 6, verse 12. This is part of the Lord's Prayer. We pick up our reading in the midst of the prayer. Jesus said, "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Let us turn next to Romans chapter 8, verse 7, page 1201, Romans 8, verse 7. "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot." Then let us turn to 1 John chapter 2, page 1301, 1 John 2. We'll read the first two verses. We read this: "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Thus far the reading of God's Word. The congregation, we hear around us of apologies. Sometimes people demand a retraction or an apology. Sometimes people give it, say they're sorry. Some apologize. But if you look deeper than just those words, there are many who don't understand forgiveness. Words are often spoken, but many times there is very little understanding, especially in our culture, about what true sin is and what true forgiveness is, what they are all about. Well, that should not be said of us as Christians. Jesus has taught about sin, and Jesus has taught about forgiveness and asking for it. I proclaim to you this evening, ask your Heavenly Father to forgive you. Ask your Heavenly Father to forgive you. And first, we consider this request to forgive. It is an enormous request, an enormous request. Now, the previous request we made, "Give us this day our daily bread," it was to supply all our physical needs, to help us to put our trust in God alone. The request we consider this evening is not for physical needs. It's a moral request. It's a spiritual request. It's a request for forgiveness. We ask, as the Catechism puts it so well, "Do not hold against us, poor sinners that we are, any of the sins we do or the evil that constantly clings to us. We ask to be cleared of all that we've done that's wrong, all that's sinful, our sinful nature. We are not excusing ourselves before God. We're not like Adam saying, the woman you gave me, or like the woman, the serpent. We're not justifying what we did. We're not saying, okay, I know you don't like it, but this, and I did it for this reason. No. We admit we sin. We say, Lord, forgive. We need to think about this. It's one thing to admit to God that we have physical needs, that I can't do this, Lord. I can't supply the food. I can't have my body be nourished. That's one issue. After all, we're creatures. We aren't the creator. Children think, even Adam, before the fall, before sin, he would have to pray to God for his daily bread. He would have to ask God to supply all his daily needs. Adam had to do that. But this request, forgive us our debts. We're asking for something that Adam would not need to ask for in the beginning. Man was not created with this need. We think of the other requests, the Lord's Prayer. We think of how it begins. But this request, it's different. This has come about because of Adam's fault, our fault. We can't get around that. We don't try to as Christians. Mankind has sinned against God. Mankind has gone against what God commanded, even though God made it very clear to man what to do. And we should not keep this off at arm's length as though it's man in general that sinned. Each one of us, you have sinned, I have sinned. Even since we've gathered together for church this evening, we have sinned. You've done something to God's world, something in God's world. It's what God did not command. That brings destruction even. Maybe already, children, maybe already you've quarreled with your sibling, even in church. It happens, doesn't it? God has placed you and me in this wonderful world. He's supplied us with our physical needs as we prayed. But we're going about this wonderful world destroying it by our sin, because of our sin. And God has set you and me before other human beings. We damage them by our sin. Husbands, God has given you a wonderful gift of your wife, a blessing from God. And yet, don't we as husbands, we wound her by our sin. Wives, the same goes for you toward your husband. Parents, God has entrusted you with these children. We saw two babies this morning. They grow up, but they're in your care. But don't we as parents, we damage them by our sin. Not only sinning against them, but also the example we show leads them, trains them in sin. Children, you too, you hurt your parents, you hurt your brothers, your sisters with your sin. But sin is more than just doing something against God's world or another human. Every time you and I commit wrong, say something wrong, think something wrong, do something wrong, have a wrong desire within, each of these first and foremost is a sin against God. They're not simply mistakes. It's not simply forgetfulness or carelessness or lack of training. Each sin, every action, word, thought, desire that does not conform perfectly to God's law is a direct assault against God Himself. We were reminded of that last week. We read that same passage, part of it this week, Romans 8, verse 7. The mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. The mind that is set on the flesh, the sinful mind, is hostile to God. Hostile. That's what God's word says. Now, while the true Christian is not enslaved to sin, having a mind set on the flesh, that core is the same, that sin. Sin that we commit is in one sense no different than sin an unbeliever commits. It's all sin. And when you sin, when I sin, we are attacking God. In sin, in that sin is hating God. Sin is not innocent. Sin is not just a disagreement. Sin is rebellion against the God of the universe. Each sin, every sin, your sin, my sin, sin, there's hostility. It's hating God. It's enormous, this request we're making. Forgive us, Lord. So we see some of how this request differs from the previous one. We're not asking from innocence, something we need simply because we're a creature. We're asking God to do something in response to our rebelling, our hating Him at that point when we sin. Now, children, think of saying sorry. If you accidentally break your sister's toy, you feel bad, don't you? Or say your mom's phone is there on the counter and you pick it up, even though perhaps she's told you not to. You pick it up and maybe you're trying to play with it and it falls and breaks. To say sorry then, that's hard. But it's another thing to say sorry if you've lied about someone. It's hard to admit to someone, to their face, to look them in the eye. Don't we often look down? It's shame, isn't it? But to look them in the eye and say, I'm sorry, I was out to hurt you. And we need to continue to understand just what sin is and what asking God's forgiveness is, this enormous request. You know, when many people apologize, we hear of that in the news, don't we, of stealing or being unfaithful or this or that, or they said something and all of a sudden there's a firestorm. Oh, I'm sorry I said that. Most won't admit to trying to hurt the other people. In fact, they say, oh, I didn't mean that. Very few people admit to trying to harm someone else. Although, haven't we been seeing that with the manifestos and mass shootings? But when we pray to God, every time we ask this request, we are confessing, admitting it was against you, it was designed against you, it was aimed against you, Lord. It was hatred against you in my heart. This is horrible. That's what sin is. That is how bad, how utterly evil sin is. It is direct hatred and hostility against the God of glory. And until someone comes to that point where they admit just how bad sin is and they see it as God opens our eyes, you're not really confessing sin then. Do not fool yourself. Do not think your sins, every single sin, your sins are anything less than hostility, hatred against God. That's how bad we are. But maybe you say, I didn't intend to hate God by my sin. You know, I wasn't even thinking about God. That's part of the problem. I was thinking about myself. I'll admit, it was bad that I did such and such, but it's not as bad as you're making it out to be. I'm not that bad of a person. I don't hate God, even in my sinning. I love God. Now, no doubt the true Christian loves God. But when we sin, we are doing something that is not love. It is hatred. What did we read again from Romans 8, verse 7? The mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. That sinful mind is hostile. That link there between sin and hostility. Hostile is a good translation. It's that bad. So when we pray this request, this prayer, truly understanding, not just by rote memory and that's it, we see what an enormous request we're making of God. It's enormous. Think in your own life, if someone would purposefully crash into your vehicle, set fire to your house, assault your family, try to kill you, purposely was hostile toward you. Remember, that's the word the apostle used. And then he asked you to forgive him. Well, that's our situation before God. Even worse, though. And think about it. I ask you, congregation, what is the worst thing someone has done to you? For some of us here, it's really bad. What is the worst thing someone could do to you? And I'll make that 10 times worse. And then ponder, what if that person would come to you and ask you to forgive them? What would they be asking you to do when they ask forgiveness? That's an enormous request in and of itself. a request that everyone in this world will refuse by nature, a request that you might be tempted to refuse unless God has changed your heart. But we make this request, and even greater to God, forgive us our debts. Again, if someone came up to us and asked us to forgive them if they've done horrible things, we might want to say to someone, who does he think he is? He can do all that and then ask me to forgive? How much more for us toward God? We need to see it in that light, this enormous request. How dare we ask God to forgive us? How dare we? Well, how dare we? We come to that in our second point. There's a reason. There's a bloody reason. Why do we ask forgiveness? Jesus told us to. He said, pray this. We're not praying on our own initiative. But even more, there's a foundation on which this request is built that Jesus tells us to pray. What could ever lead God to forgive us for all we've done against Him, our hostility, our hatred? It's not because you and I have some redeeming quality, something still good. Sometimes we hear people say, I know there's good in him yet. I know there's good yet. No, it's not because of that. God doesn't forgive because we're sorry even. The reason has nothing to do within you and me. We have nothing. We have only sin and enmity. We call down upon ourselves the wrath of God against sin by our sin. We call down upon ourselves the torment of hell because of our hatred against God. Don't think for a moment that God's forgiving you has anything to do with you. Anything you bring, any good you are. That's not the reason. There's only one reason God forgives, and it's a very bloody reason. It's the shed blood of Jesus. We read that in 1 John 2, verse 2. About Jesus, He is the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation. Jesus turned away God's wrath, propitiated. Out of His love for such wretched sinners that we are, God took the initiative. God sent His beloved Son to take upon Himself our human nature without sin, but in that nature to fulfill all righteousness. Unlike us, Jesus loved God perfectly. Perfectly obeyed God's will. And the highest point of His love, of His obedience, was when He laid down His life, His own life, offered His blessed body to be broken, His precious blood to be shed, to be spilled on Golgotha's cross. He took upon Himself the full weight of God's eternal wrath against sin. He suffered all the torment and agony of hell there on the cross, suffered it in our place. Suffered it out of love and obedience to His Father. He was our substitute. He took the penalty we deserve because of our sin. Because Jesus did this, He paid for our sins. He reconciled us to God by His death on the cross, by His shed blood. God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. As the Apostle John wrote, He is the propitiation for our sins. He makes us one with God, reconciles us. The sin problem has been resolved, removed. He turned away God's wrath. Again, that's what propitiation means. He turned away God's wrath. It was Christ's sacrifice that did this. He turned away God's wrath. Christ's righteousness, His blood, they do not save everyone, but only those who belong to Jesus, who entrust themselves to Jesus. Trust Jesus always. God credits Christ's righteousness to you, believer. God declares you not to be sinful, but to be as righteous as Christ was righteous for us. It's not because of anything within us, anything we've said, anything we've done. We receive Christ's righteousness simply and solely through faith, through believing in Jesus. And having Christ's righteousness credited to us, God forgives us all our sins. He answers this request, forgive us our debts for the sake of Christ, His shed blood. That's the bloody reason God forgives. Believer in Jesus, even though your sin, my sin, they are enormous, monstrous, rest assured that as often as you accept the gospel promise in true faith, God, because of what Christ has done, truly forgives you. Have you asked forgiveness? Have you asked? Ask. Trusting in Jesus, you're forgiven. That's the gospel. What Christ did. The good news of salvation in Jesus through faith in His blood. That which was impossible for us to do. Impossible for God to do otherwise than through the death of His Son. It's become reality. No more is needed. No more is required. You don't have to do penance. Jesus didn't say here, forgive us our debts because I said 1,000 Hail Marys. You don't have to do anything. It is all a gift of God's grace. We cannot earn it. We cannot contribute to it. In the smallest measure, we receive it only through faith, not through our doing or saying anything. The very first moment of saving faith, the very first moment of the Christian life, believer in Jesus, you are right with God. Your sins are forever forgiven. Praise God. What a blessing. Ask your Heavenly Father to forgive you. It's an enormous request. It's based on a bloody reason, the blood of Christ. But there's more, isn't there, to this request? Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. The gospel account of Matthew, where this prayer is recorded, as we read immediately after the prayer, Jesus adds, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now let us be clear. Our forgiving others is not a second reason God forgives. Our forgiving others does not form the basis in any way for God's forgiving us. God forgives us only and always for the sake of Christ's shed blood alone, His righteousness. How then are we to understand the second half of the request? We consider that in our third point, that this request we make is a sincere request, a sincere request. And we do well to listen closely to what our Lord teaches as it regards God and His forgiving us. There are many who think, well, God, my role is to sin, and God's role, He forgives sin. That's what God does. The way to have God forgive is, well, say the right words or show some remorse or feel bad about what was done or just don't be as bad as someone else. Many reason there has to be some sign that we shouldn't have done it, that we regret it happened, or else God won't forgive. Brothers and sisters, that's not what God's looking for. There is no other reason, again, than Christ's blood that God forgives. However, Christ's blood can only be laid hold of through true faith. And true faith, saving faith, reveals itself, shows itself to be sincere. There really is, by God's grace, a hatred of our sins. There really is, by God's grace, a desire for righteousness and to be restored to God. It's not simply a desire to escape judgment, to escape punishment, to avoid hell. God works a heartfelt sorrow over our sin. over the hatred we've shown to God. It grieves us. It grieves us that sin clings yet to me, to you. It grieves us that I don't want to be as good as I should want to be. As the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 7:14, we hate the sin we do. We realize a small measure of just what it took Jesus to do, just what Christ suffered in our place, and we grieve, though. It caused our Lord this pain because of me, because of our sin. And so, when someone sins against you, the Holy Spirit brings to the minds and hearts that even though that sinner has hurt you, perhaps greatly hurt you, we have caused so much more agony for Jesus. And yet he laid down his life in our place willingly in order to remove that pain from us so we would not endure it, so we would never feel God's wrath at all. That is how liberating the gospel is, brothers and sisters. You can forgive now. You can truly forgive others. You can face together the sin, the hatred, the hostility that one has for the other. And by God's grace, you can let it go. And not hold it against them. It doesn't mean you sweep it under the carpet. That's not what we're talking about. You forgive. Forgiving doesn't necessarily mean forgetting what happened. Depends on what's used by the word forget. Forgiveness does not hold it against the one who committed it. The Catechism brings that out so well. Do not hold against us. In fact, that's even greater. To know something happened, to remember it, but not hold it against. That's forgiveness. And those who have been forgiven by God forgive their fellow man without exception. If there's someone who is not forgiving another, no matter what that person has done, then that person is not realizing how bad they are before God. And there is pride, self-righteousness. Maybe you say, "Preacher, you have no idea what she did to me." We have no idea what we did to God. And we really have no idea what we're asking God to do when we ask Him, forgive. And as your pastor, I'm going to say very clearly, very plainly. I say this way because we are all tempted with sin, the sin to not forgive others. And it's straight from God's Word. If you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Why? Because you're not really asking God's forgiveness. Oh, you speak the words, but your heart's not there. You think too little of yourself, your sin, too little of the Holy God. You aren't really asking God to forgive you. You're asking Him maybe, well, accept this to counter what I've done. No. You know, we might say the words, but it's not being meant. This is serious. And as we've been saying, bring up to the profession of faith class, are we living with one leg in the world and one in the church trying to live compromised? Or are we saying, Lord, look at what I've done. Forgive me and help me to forgive others. Now, this is serious. Husbands, are you forgiving your wife? Wives, are you forgiving your husband? Parents, are you forgiving your children? Children, are you forgiving your parents? Do you forgive your brother, your sister, your neighbor, whoever it is who has harmed you? When they ask forgiveness, they ask, forgive me. Do you forgive? Now, forgiving does not mean we act as though the sinner is perfect. Forgiving doesn't mean we get rid of all restraints, even imprisonment. No. Forgiveness is not holding it against them. One can discipline, one can even punish and yet forgive. But so many do not even forgive. Well, if forgiveness allows for restraint, for imprisonment, well, what is forgiveness? Simply put, it's not holding against the person his sin or her sin. Think of if two persons are enemies, they cannot, they will not deal cordially with each other. Think of two nations at war. With forgiveness, though, it's as though a peace treaty has been signed. The guilt is removed. Now there can be reconciliation. There can be fellowship, friendship. Forgiveness clears the deck, so to speak, so that good communication, interaction, living can begin. Trust can now be built. It might take time. It might take a long time for one to earn the other's trust. Look around at our world. Look at divorces. Look at the refusing to go somewhere or shake someone's hand or speak a kind word to someone. Look around and you will see many who claim to be Christian who don't forgive. They are not real Christians. We have a lot of people who claim to be Christian, but they won't forgive their spouse, their ex-spouse. They won't forgive their brother or sister. They won't forgive whoever. They won't truly forgive. There are a lot of make-believe Christians out there. And people say time heals all wounds, but for the unsaved person, time works bitterness, resentment. Are you bitter? Are you angry? Are you resentful? Those are poisons. Poisons in the heart that bide their time till they burst forth. By God's grace, humble yourself before the Lord, confess your sin, and truly seek forgiveness. Then forgive. If you've not forgiven someone, if you're holding a grudge, as God's servant, I warn you, you are in danger of hellfire. For as you have not forgiven another of his or her sin, you have not asked God's forgiveness. You are not forgiven. Your soul is in grave danger. Don't go through the motions of Christianity. Don't pray all the requests but this one. Or don't pray this one without meaning what Jesus says. You see, this takes grace. It takes God's grace. Repent of your self-righteousness, your pride. Humble yourself before God. Confess your sin to Him truly and ask forgiveness. Truly ask forgiveness. Because of Christ's blood, God will not hold against you, poor sinner that you, that I, that we are, any of our sins or the evil that constantly clings to us. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God gives grace to forgive. Doesn't come from you. It will never come from you. Won't come from me. Like saving faith, it is a gift of God. Now, if you've sinned against someone and you've asked forgiveness and they're not forgiving you, they refuse, you don't have the right, at that moment at least, perhaps longer, you don't have the right to rebuke that other person. Admonition is needed, but you aren't the one to give it. Don't try to bully someone into forgiving you. If you're truly sorry, leave it in God's hands. And think of what a wonderful opportunity this is for evangelism, brothers and sisters. And we can point to human examples of forgiveness and how God used that mightily. But look around at the lack of forgiveness. The world's filled with it. Again, divorces, lawsuits, brokenness. As you forgive, by God's grace, others will notice. And they will ask you. When they ask, don't give some bland response. God has just given you an opportunity to testify to Jesus. Seize it. Make the most of your being hurt, where God can turn it to bring Him glory and point to Jesus. Tell the one who asks you why you forgave. Tell them how great your sins against God are. Tell them how Jesus died for your sins, how God fully forgives you. tell them they've sinned against God. And yet God will forgive simply through believing in Jesus. Call them to believe. Call them to turn from sin. And they still might not get it. And you might get to talk about it again and again and again with that same person. Do that. Be bold. Pray for that person. Pray earnestly for them. Pray that God would bring them to faith and repentance. Don't waste your suffering, your sorrows, your being sinned against. Point to God and His grace in Jesus. And here again, brothers and sisters, we draw strength from living from the good news of salvation in Christ. We can never forgive on our own, not truly. Perhaps we can cope. Perhaps we can get by. Perhaps we can put it out of our mind or try to compartmentalize. But the power and grace to forgive others, it comes from God as He forgives us. The person who has one has the other. To us who are truly forgiven by God, God also gives grace to forgive. Now, it doesn't mean we don't struggle with sinful feelings. Take that to the Lord. Ask Him to make it plain. Even when our heart is stubbornly slow to receive it, remember, the sins of others are nothing compared to our sins against God. That gospel of free forgiveness in Jesus, it humbles us. And yet, it's our only hope. It's our only hope for marriages, for families, for churches, for this perishing world. Ask your Heavenly Father to forgive you. And as you ask in faith, God forgives, believer. Forgive others. And may God receive all the praise. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how great our sins are against You. But we so often see the sins of others against us, and they at times are enormous also. But not as enormous as ours against You. You gave Your Son to suffer and die for us. Lord, grant us grace to admit our sin, to hate our sin, to confess our sin. Grant us grace to ask, Lord, forgive. And give us grace also to forgive. Lord, You know where there's brokenness. You know where there are stubborn, grudging hearts. By the power of Your Spirit, the power of the gospel, pierce through that begrudging nature. Lord, forgive us. Grant us grace to forgive. And as we are given opportunities, may we point to You. Give us boldness to do that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.